Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast, a podcast created to hold space for authentic human conversation through the lens of the feminine. Here, we will dive deep into the realms of motherhood, birth, seasons of womanhood, and so much more. I am your host, Lucy. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to this brand new episode of the Here to Be Human podcast. And I am here with the beautiful Lizzie. And today we get to hear her story of how she birthed her third baby, her little boy, after two amazing girls, her magic little boy, and a little bit about Lizzie. She is a free birthing, unschooling mama to three wild children, leading an intuitive and feminine life against the grain in the highlands surrounded by cows. So magical, completely sums up the essence of you, Lizzie. Welcome.
Totally. Thank you. I'm like very, very excited to like travel back to his birth and like kind of remember and relive and speak it out loud, because it's it's always so magical to go back there. You get to
he's 6 months old now.
Yeah, just about, like in a couple of days, he's 6 months, which is crazy.
And we both are bleeding on this new moon. Like, this is just so, so beautiful to be able to have this story medicine and talk about birth as we're both like sitting here bleeding under this beautiful Piscean new moon, and to tap back into that potency of bringing life into the world. So I'm just going to hand it over to you, babe, and let you just jump in wherever you feel to. I don't know if you wanted to touch briefly upon your girls' stories and then go here's just to,
So yeah, that's always a good place to start. So I have two girls and now my son. And my first birth, I was with a private midwife, and I used a birth center because at that time I was, you know, living with my dad and like just was in a totally different circumstance, I guess, and it didn't really feel like my home. And at that time, that was the birth that I wanted. That was totally what felt right for me. And I did actually have a really, really great midwife and a really great experience, and, you know, like a very intervention-free, amazing birth, all of the things. But then, you know, a couple of years go by and I get the stirrings of like feeling another soul coming through and really wanting to have another baby, and feeling this really strong, intense pull towards free birth, totally wild pregnancy. Because with my first pregnancy, it was like mostly a wild pregnancy, but like, you know, I still would, you know, like let's say I went to a GP and I ordered some blood tests, and then I would take it to a naturopath, and I was kind of doing my own care, but I was still engaging the system for certain things. Like I was, you know, I had an ultrasound, things like that. I didn't go to the hospital, but I was like, I was just figuring out my own kind of thing. And then, you know, you become older and wiser and you change your mind about things. And so I feel like a lot of women have that experience where they want to have a redemptive experience. And it's not like I really like had any trauma or anything, but I still was like, no, I want to do this in the most raw, primal, like wild way that I can. Like I want to get even closer, you know, like. So I didn't take a pregnancy test. I like knew how to track my cycle by this stage. I was a little bit, you know, older and wiser, as I said, as I was 21 when I got pregnant with my firstborn. So that was a whole awakening. Yeah. So yeah, now I was like, fast forward to being like, you know, what, 24 and then 25 when I birthed my second daughter.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I knew about my cycle. I knew about all of that stuff. So, very much wanted her, tried for her, conceived her straight away. Like, she came through me like a force. She is a triple Leo. And another thing I was reflecting on this morning is like their births and their pregnancies really, for me, reflect them in a lot of ways and their energy and their essence. And like, of course, it's a co-creation, like you as the mum, but the more undisturbed I feel that I've gotten within pregnancy and birth, the more of them I just feel. And I'm just literally channeling them. So that was Audrey, my second born. She just was this, like, oh, it was the most psychedelic pregnancy. Like, she sent me so many messages and like visions and dreams, and she was very clearly communicating with me a lot of stuff. And that's her. Like, she started talking very, very young, and she speaks very well for a
So in
2-year-old.
her
It's like,
body, like
oh.
she can just tell just from like through Instagram land, you're like, this little being is so in her body and she's so here. Like she was just like, the minute she dropped into your womb, she was like, yep, let's go.
100%, 100%. I felt her like even before I even ovulated, you know what I mean? Like I just felt her there waiting. And then it was like it so psychedelic. It's the only way I can describe it. So yeah, like I really wanted that experience. I was like, I want to do just a free birth, and I want to do the lotus birth. I don't want to cut the cord. I like all the things. I was like, that's what I want. Didn't do the pregnancy test, didn't see a doctor, didn't have anything. I was just having that experience that I wanted.
And with
And it
had you like had other friends or people around you like done birth that way? Like how did you be, I guess, how were you exposed, or was it an intuitive thing? Like how did you kind of,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, mostly just online. Like I didn't know anyone around me like at that time who was making choices like that. I had seen it and heard other women's birth stories, like what we're doing now, right? And just I think what happened was I became very obsessed with birth after my first, because it was such a beautiful experience. It was such a powerful experience. It did totally, you know, it was the catalyst for so much goodness and change and transformation. And I'm like, I can't believe like it was just amazing. And I'm like, I bet like it could be even more amazing if I just like got even deeper into my own power. And yeah, like it was just, I saw women doing it, I heard about women doing it, and I was like, this makes so much sense. And so I feel like the path to free birth, like I feel like if you know that it's something that you're interested, like you know what I mean? It's like it calls you, you're like, oh, there's something there. Like
It
obviously, yeah, like it's not something
resonates.
everyone's going to choose, but if it is calling to you, there's probably some really good stuff there that you should explore, you know? What I reckon. So then, like, you know, I fall pregnant again, and I had had, you know, such a good track record by now of births. It was like, I didn't even, you know, I was just like, yes, love it. Can't wait to give birth again. Like, that's how I honestly have felt since the first one. And so I just kind of assumed I was going to do everything the same as the previous free birth. And so again, like, I didn't take a pregnancy test, didn't see a doctor, didn't get any scans, didn't do any of engaging of the medical system. But there's this whole idea of like the pendulum swing of like, and I don't know, it sounds dramatic, but you know, that second time it was, you know, it was like rebellious. Like me doing a free birth was like, it meant something. It was like, I'm specifically choosing this because I don't want to choose that other thing, you know? And there was some redemption in there of like, I know I can do this just by myself in my own home, you know,
I fully get
without any. Yeah, it was like a statement. It was almost political, you know, like it sounds so intense, but I needed to have that experience, or I wanted to have that experience. And then I did. And then I was like, oh, okay, that was actually just so incredibly normal. And like, yes, it was totally amazing. But I'm like, okay, I felt like I've made peace with whatever I needed to make peace with. And like, so the third time around, I was really like chill about it. It didn't feel like this big, oh, I'm going to have a free. It was just like, oh, I'm just going to give birth. And it just so happened that the way that I'm doing it is a free birth. Like, like the label didn't mean as much this time around. It was just, I'm just a mom. I'm just growing a baby. I'm just going to birth it at home where I feel the happiest. And like, it's just whatever, like no big deal anymore. And so I kind of was like, just assuming that I would get a birth pool. This was another big piece where things started to shift. I was probably like still in the first trimester or maybe like towards the second. And I was like, yeah, like maybe we'll get a white birth pool this time. 'Cause like the first time I had a blue one, the second time I had a purple one. I'm like, let's just change it up, right? And then I started to ask more questions within myself about that. I got exposed to the idea of the birth pool as an intervention. And at first, I was very triggered by that. And I was like, whoa, like, how, like, no, like, it's so natural. And it's everyone does the birth pool. And I was like, wow, why am I getting so triggered by this? So I like just explored it a bit more. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, like, because my first birth was actually a land birth. I labored in the pool, but then I ended up getting out and birthing her on the land. And then my second birth, I was like, okay, I labored mostly on the land and then got in the pool and birthed her in the pool. And it's like, so I'm like, I don't know, like maybe I could have another land birth again. And I started to think about maybe I just don't want a birth pool. And it was this whole process of going, oh, just because my last birth was really good, I don't need to just recreate the same thing again. And I started to get curious about the idea of what if this birth is going to be even more different, or even, I don't know about the word better, but like, what if there's like a deeper layer here I can journey to? What if, like, like I started to really get curious about it, because I'm like, why am I just default setting going to recreate the last experience? What if there's something more here? What if there's more medicine? It's a different baby. It's a completely different human that I'm birthing. Like maybe they have a different vision of how they want to be born. So I was a few months into this pregnancy before I started even considering it. And I'm like, whoa, okay. So I just over the rest of the pregnancy started to become even more open and like free about what was going to happen. And like, I didn't set up a birth space. I didn't have like fairy lights, or I didn't hang up the artwork that I initially thought I really wanted and needed to hang up. And it was very stripped back. It was very refined. It was very like just raw. Like, there was no distractions. There was no fluff. And like, looking back now, I'm like, that was really my prayer. Like, that was what I wanted. At some point in the pregnancy, I was like, I want to see how raw and primal this thing can get. Like, I want to really remove everything that doesn't belong in the space. Like, the birth pool is just one part of it, right? It's just one symbol, I think, because it's such a big thing that we always see, like the fairy lights, the birth pool, that scene, right? And I'm like, hang on, like, wait a minute. What if there's something else that I'm supposed to experience? I don't know. So that was kind of, we would talk about it, like, where is it going to happen? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to see how I feel in the moment. Like, maybe I want to be in the bath, because we did have a bath at the time at the house we were living in, which made it even easier to be like, let's not worry about the birth pool thing. If I really want to get in the water, I can. And I'm like, maybe we'll do it in front of the fireplace. We had a fireplace. It was winter. I was pregnant. I was like sitting in front of the fire all the time. I was like, I could just give birth here. Like, it felt really liberating to just not care and not be attached to this idea of what it had to look like, where it had to happen. Because in my second, like, that was very much, what it was like. So, yeah. And Shepherd, my son, he is a triple Virgo. So I like, now that he's here and I know him in the way that I do, I'm like, this all makes sense. I like went through this whole death, so many deaths when I was pregnant with him, of letting go of so many things I thought that I needed, or that my identity was attached to, or things that I thought I wanted. And then, like, I learned that I didn't need them and that I could live easily without them, or just learning to be comfortable to sit in that emptiness and the void and the unknown and the mystery, like, even more. And just this big dissolution of, like, ego and, like, all it was, that was the journey he took me on. And at that time, I like couldn't fully see it until after, like when I birthed him, when he landed, and then I looked back, and then it was like, then it all made sense. You know, like weeks later, then we found the artworks that I really wanted to hang up. And I just laughed. I was like, of course, like he totally hid them from me. And like, I didn't need anything to birth him. I didn't need, we didn't even, like, at the time that he came through and then I gave birth to him, we didn't even have like working hot water in the house. Like, literally, it was so, I hadn't showered in like 10 days. It was so incredibly just stripped back and bare and
Primal.
raw. Like, I'm like, that was what he was teaching me. That was the lesson that he was bringing to me. So I'll start with, like, I guess the day, because the labor started at midnight, so I'll just share like the day leading up to it, because it's a little bit funny. Like, I had placed this big click and collect order with Harris Farm to just like stock us up with heaps of food, because when you're a mom, you know, like you gotta be thinking about these things. I'm like, I'm about to have a baby, even though I'd filled the freezer with like soups and curries and like I'd been prepping and freezing and all that. It was just that last, like, oh, I've got to prepare, like I've got to nest. So I guess, yeah, I did this big food shop, and because of where we live, like we couldn't get stuff delivered to us. We had to go drive into town and go and pick up the click and collect. I'm like, cool, like we'll go get it, we'll go out for lunch, we'll come home, you know. And I was at this point 40 weeks, and I would have been 4 days, so 4 days over. And that's like super normal for me. The girls were, Stevie was 41 weeks, and then Audrey was 41 weeks plus two. So I was expecting at least I would go to 41 weeks, but I did not. So we drive into town to get this click and collect. And because it was my first time placing an order with them in this way, and I hadn't like verified my account, like there was just all this nonsense. And they had like cancelled my order, refunded me the money, and like I
My
had to
God.
call them. My partner went in to pick it up, and they're like, "That you have to call." And I'm like, "What?" Anyway, I'm literally like trying to talk to this man on the phone, and I cannot even explain like the emotions that I was feeling in that moment about this click and collect, and like the rage. Specifically, like I was trembling. I was completely like flushed with heat. I was so unbelievably angry at this man, but I was being like really, you know, nice to him on the phone. But like, I like afterwards, I just cried and I was just so angry. I, you know, and it took us all day going back and forth with Harris Farm for whatever reason to sort out this bloody order. I had to like redo the order twice. We were out all day. It took hours. We went out for lunch, and like the whole day, I've got this like really intense pressure on my cervix. Like, baby's head feels so low, so much pressure. It's like every step that I take, sitting in the car, I'm like so grumpy, so pregnant, so unbelievably uncomfortable and over it. And I remember having round ligament pain. I was like, that's interesting, because I didn't really get much of it in the third pregnancy. But I was like, baby must have moved. Looking back on it now, I'm like, he must have been just getting in position and getting ready. So all day I was uncomfortable. I was like, oh, and my partner's like, maybe this is the start. I'm like, it's not. Like, trust me, it's definitely not.
Always in denial. We're always in denial.
Like, no,
I
I'm
say
gonna
the
grab
same thing every time, and my partner's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "It's not it. It's not."
Trust me, I know. It's like, okay. Like we, yeah, still joke about it all the time. He was like, you were totally in labor. I'm like, no, I wasn't. Didn't start yet.
Little bit.
So we get home, we put away all the food shopping, and it was really nice. I like cleaned the fridge, you know, and like filled the fridge up with food. And like, gosh, by this point, I was so ready to sit down, but I did it. Got through it. I sat down. I was so hungry. I had like two big giant bowls of like spaghetti bolognese. Like I just couldn't get enough. I was so hungry. And I was just grumpy. I was uncomfortable. I was over it. And then eventually I just went to bed. And I start like, oh, I was having a dream. So I'm asleep and I'm dreaming. And I'm having this really random dream where like I can still kind of remember it. I was like going to someone's house and I was like trying on different outfits or something. And then we were like making toast. Like it was so uneventful. But in the dream, like I was having contractions, like really, really mild little, you know, waves, just like a period cramp, like nothing crazy. And like I didn't know it at the time because I was asleep and I was dreaming, but I really was having contractions. Like this is how it all kind of started to come into my awareness, was in my dream. And in my dream, I was starting to become a bit more and more lucid. And I was talking to the people in the dream, being like, oh yeah, I'm having this cramping. And I've just realized that it's like it's coming and it's going and it's coming and it's going. And I'm like, maybe I'm in labor. And as soon as I kind of said that to someone in the dream or like had the thought in the dream, I started to like slowly wake up a bit more and become a bit more lucid. I was in this really weird state and I started to think to myself, like, wait a minute, am I dreaming these contractions or am I actually having contractions and they're coming into my dream? Like, I just couldn't work it out. So I was like, okay, once I wake up, if they're still happening, then I'll know. So that's kind of what happened. I was waking up more and more and more, and then I just was laying in bed awake, like waiting to feel if another one was going to come. And my partner walks in the room because he had been like up late on the computer doing stuff, and it was about like what 12:30, nearly 1 o'clock in the morning. No, yeah, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, "Hey, like I'm." He was just felt the need to come and check on me, and I'm like, I think something's happening. I just was having this crazy dream where I was having contractions, but I've woken up and they're still happening. And like, I'm having these little cramps. Yeah, I don't know. And he's like, okay, well, do you want to like go? We went and laid down in the spare room and like had a cuddle in there and set up a bit of a space because my toddler was in bed with us still at that time. So we went to the spare room. We're laying down, we're cuddling, and I am just giddy. Like, I cannot wipe the smile off my face. I'm giggling. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening. Like, it's beginning. And my partner's like, a little bit like, he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yes. I'm so good. Like, he's like, what do we do? I'm like, oh, you know, knowing me, I'm like, my labors go for ages. Like, well, not ages, but both of them from start to finish. With the girls were like a good 12 hours. So I'm like, oh, early labor for me is usually really long. Like it's a really slow, gradual build up. And then once it gets going, it gets going. So I'm like, you should go to sleep. I'll just lay here. I'll try and get some rest. We'll just cuddle. We'll just sleep. And then tomorrow in the afternoon, sometime, we'll probably have a baby. And so that was like the whole idea. And I'm like, oh, how's this going to work? Like, the electrician's coming tomorrow to fix the hot water. Like, I fully just had to trust. I was like, I know that birth just is this magical thing that just works itself out. And I just have to trust in that. So we're laying in bed, cuddling, and he's just trying to go back to sleep. And I'm having these cramps coming and going. And they're really random, really sporadic. And each time one comes up, I just go close my eyes and I go within and I just breathe with it. And I was thinking to myself, like, oh, if I just keep doing this, like by the time they get more intense and stronger, like I'll be really well practiced at just breathing through them. Like these are the easy ones kind of thing. So it's really focusing on doing that. And I noticed that like they started to become more intense really quite quickly. And I was like, oh, that one was a bit like spicy. Like, okay. And so I'm laying there and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to go back to sleep. I'm way too excited about this. So I put on the movie Juno because I'm like, I want to watch a movie. And I was like, I'm either going to watch Twilight or Juno. Like, that was, and then I went with Juno. So random. So I start watching Juno and I keep having to pause it because after these contractions, like I just really need to pee. Like there was just so much pressure. It was unbelievable. So I kept pausing it, coming back, pausing it, coming back, pausing it, coming back. And then eventually my partner's like, I'm going to just move the mattress into the living room because it's way closer to the bathroom. So I don't have to keep like going on this big journey every few minutes. And it's funny looking back, like early labor must have happened so quickly. Like it started as this tiny little thing and it just got a bit more and more and more. So then I come out of the bathroom, he's set up the mattress in the living room. Juno's there playing on the iPad, like it's all he's all set up the nest for me and he's laying down.
Amazing.
And I'm like, thank you. Yeah, totally. And I lay down with him and I have this wave come over me. And as it came over me, I like buried into him and like closed my eyes. I just buried into his arm. And I, with that contraction, got so hot. Like my body temperature got so hot and I felt nauseous. I felt so sick. And I just like ran to the bathroom and I threw up. And I was like, what the heck was that? Like, you know, usually I don't feel like that until I'm like in transition. And I'm like, that was weird. And like, I'm starting to get this idea that like, this is different. Like, something about this labor is different. Things are happening not how I'm used to. Like, it feels like it's moving faster. So, anyway, I come back out and he's like, are you all good? Like, what's going on? I was like, yeah, I'm probably still in early labor. Like, it's just my hormones. I just felt a bit sick. Like, I don't even know what. I don't know, you know, like where am I pulling this information from? I'm just like comforting him. So after that, laying down was not it. I was just like leaning over the side of the mattress and kind of like in a squat, and I was kind of like still trying to watch the movie on and off. But I just kept going back and forth to the bathroom and like needing to wee after most of these contractions, and it was getting more intense. Like I was starting to like moan a bit, and I'm like, whoa, okay, things are definitely moving here, things are happening.
And what time, Smelly, is this?
Oh, I would say we're probably getting close to like 3 a.m. I feel like, yeah, between like 3 and 4:30, I was like spending a lot of time going back and forth in and out of the bathroom. And eventually around 4 a.m., like I had a contraction in the bathroom that woke up my toddler. So like that's a pretty significant moment that I remember. So I kind of was like, I don't know if I can really watch Juno anymore. Like it literally took me an hour or 2 hours to get like 20 minutes into the film. Like it was just ridiculous. I don't know. So I mean, I just remember being in the bathroom so much and like literally just the sound of like the fan. It was like the cold tiles. Like it was so unglamorous. There's no music playing. There's no nothing. I'm just in there. And I was noticing like a little bit of resistance when I was having some of the waves. And I just like, it was just me in the bathroom, you know, the door's closed, it's just me. I'm just there with my thoughts. There's no distractions, there's no music, there's no nothing. And I see this resistance come up and I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, I have this thought, I'm like, I'm a little bit scared, actually. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool. 'Cause yeah, like it was just us and we were just doing it. And I'm like, okay, like this is so fine. Like as soon as I like named it and like saw it, I was able to just shift through it and be like, okay, no worries. I'm all good. I'm just giving birth. I've done this before. I'm just gonna keep breathing. I'm just gonna really lean in. Because it was getting intense quickly. And I remember just being like sitting on the bathroom floor, like having this contraction come through me, and I felt my body start like bearing down. And I'm like, how are we? Labor started like 2 hours ago, you know, like how am I feeling this much intensity already? And that must have been when Audrey, my toddler, woke up. And I was roaring through them at this point. Like there was no more breathing through it, kind of thing. And I remember, like, this is one of the most powerful things. Once I had like let that fear go and just released it, when the next one came up, I was visualizing my cervix opening. And I swear I could feel it opening. Like it was so visceral. And I was just sending my energy towards my cervix, like pushing it all down, like imagining, visualizing it opening with each contraction. And like I was doing that a lot with like pretty much every contraction. And so things happened very, very quickly. And I was like, this is what happens in labor when you let go of all the resistance, let go of all the fear, and fully go with it and lean in and like just work with your body. And it was like my fastest birth, fastest labor ever. It was crazy. But yeah, I eventually like crawled out of the bathroom. And Audrey's there now in the bed in the living room, like watching Juno. And I'm just looking at her. She's like, "Are you okay, Mama?" I'm like, "Yeah, Mama's got a sore tummy." She's like, "Oh, okay, sore tummy." And my partner's there with her, and I'm just like having these big, loud contractions. And then in between them, I'm just smiling at her. And she was amazing. She didn't cry. She didn't get upset. She just watched, and she was just in such full trust. I'm like, I was like a little bit nervous about how she might go because she only had just turned two, but she was amazing. So then I think this is the point where Dean starts to think about starting a fire because it's like kind of cold. It's like maybe like 4:30 in the morning. I think I had like thrown up again and I was starting to think like, whoa, I think this is happening a lot sooner than we think. So this like when he tells this part of the story, it's like really funny for me. But he's out on the deck, like chopping up firewood. So you just hear the axe and you hear the wood and you hear it like slamming. And we're in this like, you know, big valley. So it's echoing through the valley, just like this, you know, axe sound. And then there's me like having these very, very loud contractions, or I'm vocalizing like a wild woman. And he's like, it sounded like a murder. Like it sounded so intense and dramatic at that time of the morning. Like, just, you know, like, just sounded so, like, what would the neighbors think, you know?
Can you imagine?
Not that we
They'd be like,
really had
what
anyone
is
living that.
happening?
Yeah, so fully just chopping firewood on the deck at like 4:30 in the morning. I'm in the bathroom just roaring, and then Audrey's in, like, somehow my 5-year-old Stevie like sleeping through all of this. She's amazing. She's the best sleeper in the house. So he like comes back inside. He's eventually got the firewood, and I can hear him out there setting up the fire. And by this point, I've literally just been in the bathroom this whole time, just me and my contractions. And there was like I said, no distractions, no fluff, no noise, no nothing. It was just me visualizing, seeing my cervix opening, having these powerful surges. And then there'd be the pause in between. And in that pause in between, I'm just sitting there in silence, like in my own mind, listening to my thoughts, listening to the fan on this like cold tiled floor, just really, really present with myself. And like, yeah, I had one other fear come up at one point where I was feeling how intense the contractions were. And my logical mind was saying, like, we're only a couple hours in. And this is intense labor. What if, you know, it's like one of those stories that you hear where they're having these really intense visceral like contractions, but they get stuck like that for like 12 hours, 24 hours, and nothing happens, and it doesn't. And I like watched that thought go, and I was like, no, that's not what's happening right now. Like, absolutely not. Like, I just came back to trusting in my body, trusting in birth. I was like, no. And you know what? If that is what happened, we would have dealt with that too. But I was like, there's no way. Like, this baby's coming, like, soon. And I got excited by the idea that it was happening quickly. I was like, oh, awesome. I'm just going to lean fully in and just go with it. And so I had spent so much time in that bathroom by myself, just in labor. It felt like forever. And I hear the fire, and I was like, I better get out there. Like, he's gone to all this effort to start a nice fire at the fireplace. So I literally, like, push the bathroom door open, and I'm crawling, I'm pretty sure, on my hands and knees. Or maybe I'm walking, who knows? But there's like, a little step up at the doorway between the bathroom and like the living room. So I made it to the step. Like, I hadn't even entered. There's the doorway, literally, is where I end up giving birth. I didn't even make it through the doorway. I like get to the steps, and a wave starts coming. So I drop down onto my hands and knees, and actually, like, the way that the steps held me was amazing. Like, the bathroom floor was so unforgiving and so hard, and like my knees and everything, like the weight of me, like it was just so uncomfortable, but I just was dealing with it. But this floor was carpeted, and it felt a lot more like it could hold me. And I had the steps. So there's like the ground level, a little step, and then another step. So there was like this tiered, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but so I was just kind of hands and knees, but like not completely level. I was like over the steps, kind of thing.
Forward
Yeah.
leaning, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And it felt great. I loved being there. I was like, oh, I can just actually just stay here. Like, this works. I could see the fireplace. It was like just over there. I could see Audrey over there on the mattress in the living room. I could see my partner Dean there. And they were close enough, but they were far enough as well. I didn't want to be, like, you don't want to be too close. I'm like, I need a little bit of space. And so I'm like, okay, I'm here. Like, I wanted to be with everyone and like be near the fire and stuff. But then I was like, I'm just here in my little doorway, basically. And at some point, Dean's like checking in with me, like, do you need anything? Do you need a drink? And I really did. I knew, like, at Harris Farm that day, we'd got this really nice lemonade. And I was like, I would love some of that. But I didn't want him to leave, so I said no. But then somehow at some point I look up and there's a cup of lemonade in front of me, and like I was like, oh, he just fully
He
read
read
my
your
mind.
mind. Yeah.
What we all want, right? Like,
He's a keeper.
totally. I had one sip of it. It was way too intense. Like, but it was perfect. That one sip of lemonade. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. At one point, he come up to me and tried to like touch me and like, give me a bit of like affection in that way, and rub my back. And I couldn't even talk. There were no words. It was just this primal sound that essentially was like, get off me. Like, no. Just like roared at him, and he was like, okay. So he got that, and then he like set up the camera to film it, which I was like, yes, because I really wanted that. But again, I wasn't attached to anything in this birth. I was like, it's just gonna happen how it happens. So yeah, I think so. It gets a little bit murky for me whether my waters broke first or if I lost my mucus plug first, but I think. Like, when I've asked Dean, he says my waters broke first, so I'm just going to go with that. But I'm not sure. So I'm leaning over these like steps, and I'm having these epic contractions, like baby's moving down. It's very powerful, it's very strong, it's all happening very quickly. And my water just bursts like this amazing, like, loud pop sound and this big gush, and I just look up at everyone. I'm like, oh, like the relief, like it
Yeah,
felt so good.
I know that feeling so well.
Oh, It was like that with my second as well. Like my waters didn't rupture until I was like almost ready to give birth. So you have all this pressure, and then
Same.
eventually, finally, you're like, oh, yeah. So that happened, and I'm like, oh, that's so exciting. And then a little bit more time passed, and it mustn't have been much time. But I had this weird, like, intuitive feeling to start leaning sideways. I can't even explain it, but because, again, in my logical mind, I'm like, that is not a good position to give birth in. Like, girl, what are you doing? You know? Why are you going, like, literally laying on my side, but my legs are up? And I just, when I was having this contraction, I just felt it take me down. So I just went with it, and I was like, okay, I'm just doing some weird stuff now. And I feel my mucus plug come out of me. And at this point, my partner was like walking around. Maybe he was getting towels or doing something. And I just said to him, I was like, was that my mucus plug? Because I just felt it. I hadn't actually seen anything. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And at this point, he, again, this is him telling me because I don't really remember, but he says, you know, does this mean we're getting close? Like, is baby coming soon? And I said to him, yes. So that moment happened. And like before the next contraction came, I got back up again because I was like, I can't give birth like this. Like, this is not a good position. I can't be laying down on my side with my like, no. So I've like made myself get up into back over the stairs, like kind of in a bit of a squat, kind of like, you know, engage, like all the things. And it just felt so good to like push with my contraction and like just roar through it. And like, it felt amazing. Like, it was so intense, like the most intense thing ever. But it also simultaneously felt incredible to just let this thing fully come over me and just go completely with it. And just the power and the intensity of it. It was so intense. It was so intense. And yeah, like literally I could just feel there was like a few contractions there where I was like, oh, this could be the one where his head comes out. Like, I just felt it was so close. I could feel him right there. And I think there were three contractions where I was like, this is going to be the one where I push his head out. So they must have been close together because it felt like this happened quite quickly. But you know, as babies do, like they take a step forward, they take a little step back, then you know, like
Doing their dance.
I get to that point though, I forget all of that. I'm like, just come out. Like, oh my God, I just want to push the head out. So yeah, and then I like, just a bit before this, sorry, I should say, my partner went in and woke up Stevie, my eldest daughter, and was like, hey, like, you should probably get up and watch your sibling being born. Like, things are happening now. So I'm looking up at my two daughters in the bed in the living room, and then my partner there, and the fire behind them. It was the most beautiful scene. They're all just looking at me. And Stevie's energy in the birth space was so precious. She just kept saying to everyone, I'm so excited. I can't wait. There's going to be a baby. Like, she lifted the spirit so much. And it was just so sweet. It was perfect. My perfect little birth team. And yeah, so then I'm feeling like, okay, his head is like right there. And it was like three contractions where I was like, is this going to be the one? And then finally that on that third one it was. And just before that, I had called out to Dean and I was like, you need to come catch this baby, basically, like come here, like catch the baby. 'Cause
Help.
again, that's something that we talked about. He's like, I'd love to catch the baby. And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, but we weren't attached to it. It was like, if that's what happens in the moment, if that's what makes sense, then yes. Otherwise, it'll be me. Or, you know, I don't know. Yeah, that's it, basically. So I'm like, come here, like, catch the baby. So he's there and he's got his hands. And like, you know, I felt his hands touch me. And I was like, too close, too close. And I pushed his hand off. Like, your hands need to be there, but like not like there, you know?
Not actually touching, just
not
there.
touch me. And so then, the head's born, and then very quickly after that, actually, it's funny, I don't really remember this part. Did I have to wait for another contraction? Maybe. I don't actually know. I remember with my second, her head was out for a good 3 minutes before the next wave, before I birthed her body. It didn't feel like it took that long. It felt pretty quick. So anyway, he catches Shepherd and is holding the baby. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that just happened. That was crazy. So he was born at 5:50 a.m. and labor started at 1 a.m. ish. So it was quick. It was a good it was 5 hours from the first tiny little cramp to there's a baby, which for me is that's wild. I'm like, what? But those last couple of, it was insane. So he's holding baby boy, and I haven't had this before in my other labors. Maybe it's because they were longer, but I needed a minute. And I've heard this before of people being like, oh, don't hand the baby straight to mom. She's just, but then I'm always like, no, hand the baby straight to mom. Of course, I want my baby. But I actually was like, no, I needed to just breathe for a second and collect myself. And I'm like, what the heck literally just happened? Whoa, that was huge. It was so big. And my partner hands him to me, and I was kind of like, I don't even want him yet. but I took him, obviously, and was cuddling him, and we've got it all on video. But at some eventually I just took this massive sniff of his head. I don't even really, it wasn't a conscious thing, but I breathe him in. It was the most delicious thing I've ever smelled. And I could have just eaten him in that moment. And as soon as I did that, I hand the baby back to Dean, and I was like, can you please hold him for a second? And I started having a contraction and birthed the placenta. As soon as I smelt him, it was like this. It was so intoxicating. It was incredible. So placenta was birthed minutes later, just out of me, just on the carpet. Most of it went on a towel, but a lot, the carpet was very stained after that. So anyway,
So primal and
moment we're
so
like,
I love
no,
it.
whoops.
Whoopsie.
Oh, and then yeah, I was like, okay, I'll take him back now, and went and laid down, and the fire was on, and I could kind of peek through the curtains and see, it would almost look like the sun was starting to come up, and I was like, whoa, what time is it? What the heck is even going on right now? And it was cold, but the fire was on, and there was all blankies, and we're all snuggling up. And one thing I didn't know at the time, but days later was able to piece together, was that I had had some retained placenta. So I don't know if it's just the sheer how fast it all happened, and he come out, the placenta come out. But afterwards, I had the shakes. I was quite shaky. I felt really cold and shivery, and I went to go pee. And I passed these clots. I thought they were clots, right? And I was like, ooh, I giggled to myself. I was like, that would be a pathology, if I was in a medical setting. But as soon as I passed them, I stopped shivering, and I was like, that's interesting. That's definitely something. But I was so high, I wasn't even worried at all about anything. So I lay down with him, feeding him, and eventually, my partner makes me some porridge, and then eventually, go to the bed in the bedroom. And again, I was doing a lotus birth, so I'm like, okay, I'll do his herbs and his placenta and wrap it all up and go to bed, basically, where I stayed for the next 2 weeks. And
Amazing.
yeah, I was looking at his placenta, because this is something the last time I didn't really have a good explore of it. I did a lotus birth last time, but it's like once you've got the herbs on it and it starts shrinking, it changes so much. Like when it's fresh, So I went to lift up the sack to show Stevie to be like, this is where he was. And I'm like, that's so weird. Where is the sack? Like, it felt really short, like there was some missing. But again, like, I'm so high, I don't care. Like, I'm not really pathologizing this situation at all. I'm like, oh, whatever. I do all the herbs, I wrap it all up, and I lay down with my baby. And yeah, it wasn't until like day three postpartum where I must have passed the rest of it, which is so wild. Like, I just went to pee one time and I looked in my undies and there was this. It was so scary. I'm like, what is that? It looks like membranes, you know, like must have been the rest of the sack and like a little bit of the placenta. I was like, what the heck just came out of me? But after that, all of my afterbirth pains were like pretty much gone, like, because I was getting cramping for a few days. I'm like, but again, I was just resting. I was in bed. I had my doula, I had my partner. I was drinking herbs and tea and tinctures and eating all the soft foods. And I was just loving my baby. I was so blissed out that it wasn't a problem. It was just something that was just happening. Like, and I had no idea. I didn't even have the thought of it until I saw it, the rest of it in my underwear. I was like, oh, and then it made sense. I was like, oh, the sack was a bit short. Oh, yeah, it was actually like shivering and shaking after the, like, all the, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. I think I had retained placenta. So then my doula come over and I did a steam and I was like, I think I'm all good now, but let's do the steam. And like, yeah, everything was fine. So that was kind of, yeah, like a powerful thing within itself. And then on day seven postpartum, his placenta detached. And then, like, a few days later, we buried it in the garden all together. And it was like Friday the 13th. I totally didn't mean for that to happen on that day, but it just lined up that way. And yeah, like, that's basically the story, I guess.
I love it.
Like, yeah,
I
there was
love.
like some big placenta magic in there.
Yeah, and I love. Yeah, I love that your body just sorted it out. Our bodies are so wise; they can most of the time just sort it out. And your uterus just had some little extra contractions and it expelled and it came out and it was all fine. And yeah, I also really loved the part where you acknowledged that you felt fear. And I think that was really powerful and something that is so valid and such a normal part of the birthing experience and something that we shy away from perhaps a little bit. And there's a lot of like clear your fears before birth and we're worried about things coming up. But it's like maybe sometimes they do need to come up when we're in labor and we just need to be open to meeting them and moving through them in our labors and acknowledging it and being like, yeah, I'm feeling scared. And like, that's okay. I'm just gonna soften to that and like be okay that I'm, even though I'm, having this free birth and this experience where I'm trusting my body, I'm also at the same time allowed to be scared because it's a wild, big experience opening your body up and letting a person through. And it's an initiation and it's meant to feel like you get taken to your edges, and with that comes a little bit of fear. And it's just so beautiful that in that moment, instead of getting stuck on that or pushing it away or overanalyzing it, you're like, yeah, I'm a little bit scared. And that's, I'm just gonna sit here in my bathroom and acknowledge that, and then we can keep going. And yeah, that was really powerful when you said that. And just that internal dialogue that we have in labor, like I feel like we all have it, It's you're in another realm, but you're also just like talking to yourself the whole time.
Right? Like, It really was, there were no distractions. There was, oh, eventually at some point, I totally forgot to say, but my partner was like, "Do you want me to put some music on?" And I was like, "Yes."
You're like, oh yeah,
I
maybe.
did have, I had made a birth playlist, but we just didn't even put it on until like
Yeah.
literally the end. So that
Yeah.
was nice. But yeah,
Yeah.
there was nothing in between like me and my fear or my like any resistance. So I was able to see it really quickly, and I was yeah, able to just acknowledge it and be like, oh, I think I'm feeling that way because I'm actually a little bit scared. Or like, oh, okay. And I just had so much compassion for that. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Okay, cool. And just shifted through it. Like, I didn't need to use like reach for any tools or have like, you know, it was just me in my bathroom in labor. And again,
Yeah.
like you said, you're in another state of consciousness, you're in this other realm. But at the same time, like I was very in my body. I was very lucid. I was very much felt very grounded. And like he's my like earth baby, you know, like he's got a lot of Virgo. And
Yeah.
so I'm like, yes, it just, I don't know. It was so completely raw and just it was just me and this baby coming through me, and like me just having nothing standing in the way of that, whether it was internal or external. And it just happened. And like we watch the video back or look at the photos of this doorway. It's so funny. It was the darkest little corner of the home, you know,
Yeah.
that I just ended up being there. And that's where he wanted to come through. Like there, it was just this journey, I guess, of me letting go of my ideas as like this knowing and just being like, show me, like, I am open. I'm completely open. And because I was so open and so soft and receptive and all those things, he just came through me so quickly and easily. And like, well, I don't know about easily, it was very, very bloody intense. Like, oh, I don't like afterwards, like my, I guess, recovery after, like, I have never felt like that after a birth. Like, usually you're a little bit like, oh, but I was able to get up and, like, you know, but I was like, I need to be in bed. Like, I had decided that postpartum, I was going to take it really seriously and rest properly, but it was like, I didn't even have a choice. Like,
Yeah.
it was so powerful and fast and intense. I was like, whoa, like it took a while for me to land back into my body and like feel strong again and like all, that whole journey that you go on in your postpartum. But
Yeah.
it was so simple and so raw and just so powerful. And I'm like, I feel like that's him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were able to, I think also like the fact that you were in such a safe place allowed you to kind of ref like what's the word I'm looking for? I like take all those things away, you know? Like you could pare it right back, strip it right back to it being just essentially he and you moving through the birth experience and just birth happening without needing all of those like all the fluff and all the things and the overthinking, which you kind of do need to do, like when you go into like for instance like the system, you need to be like we have to think about how we're going to navigate that, how we're going to make sure people know what our desires are, like what our plan is, we like and that and then I guess it is that like stripping back when you go like if you have a hospital birth first and then you decide to have a home birth for example, you'd then be like okay so you no longer have to worry about XYZ but now we're going to do have all these other little like things in place to support me in all these other ways and then we get so caught up in needing all the stuff and things whether it be out of necessity or like just this false sense of security like thinking, oh, but I have those tools, or I have, but it's like, do we actually, yeah, need them, or are they getting in our way? Like we're thinking that they're a help, but are they a hindrance because now we're over intellectualizing the whole thing, and it's taking us out of our body and our experience and our instincts and
Yes, totally.
thinking, oh, yeah, instead of just moving through and being like, I'm gonna be in the bathroom and I'm gonna be in the doorway and I'm gonna, you'd be like, oh, but the birth pool's there, I should get
Yeah,
in.
I
Or
should.
yeah,
Yeah,
like
I should be
it is.
doing this. It should look like that.
It is really interesting when you start to look at birth through that lens and look at everything being an intervention, because
Yeah.
it is like
It
even
totally is.
so it's like, ah, it's so wild and powerful and like so it's such medicine, because I think it reflects a lot of your own core beliefs and about things and yourself and your own limitations.
Fully.
And then every baby obviously teaches us lessons about ourselves and them, and like walking
Yeah.
that labyrinth like deeper into our motherhood journey and our journey as like women. And yeah, so how have things changed now being a mother to three, now birth three times over? Like, how are you feeling now, and how do you navigate this world differently? Like, what was the lesson that you think that Shepherd gifted you?
The biggest thing is he just put me so in my feminine, and he allowed me to get so comfortable with sitting in the unknown and sitting in that void and like being stripped bare of everything. Like, even if I wanted to have a water birth, I couldn't have had one. Like, we didn't have any hot water. Like, it was.
He made sure. He was like, no hot water for you, Mum.
No, the electrician came that day. So that's the other thing, right? Like, his birth happened so fast, and then the electrician came. Like, it just was meant to be that. So yeah, like, that was the biggest piece. Like, it was just this journey of letting go, really, of letting things go and making peace with that, and like letting go of my attachment to things and finding just so much peace in just like being with what actually is right in front of me. Just, yeah, like being more feminine, being like more trusting, being more soft, being more open. And that's been such a big medicine for me, like letting go of control and just surrendering. Yeah, that's my big takeaway from him. Like, fully, it just blew my mind of like, oh, I don't need to create this really lovely, beautiful birth space. And I think that, like, if people want to do that, they should. Like, it looks so pretty. Like, it is nice to, build the nest. But also, like, if you can't have access to that, or you don't, or like there's other things, like, don't worry about it. Like, your birth might even be more magical without it. Like, I am so happy that his birth was what it was, because essentially that was my intention. I wanted to see, like, I was curious about what if I just had all that stuff gone and it was just, I just rock up to it and it just happens, and I'm not trying to control it or narrate it or dictate it or orchestrate. I'm literally just receiving birth, receiving my son. Like, that's what I wanted. Yeah.
It's
And the
about
fact
being
that he,
intentional, like with why you're choosing things, isn't it? Like, instead of going into like that cookie cutter default mode, like you have a home birth or a free birth or a physiological birth or whatever, it looks like this.
Right. And how much of that is from social media? Like, that was another thing I was thinking. I was like, if that wasn't even a thing, like, what would I choose? If I hadn't seen that scene so many times, what would I actually choose? And just like, that was, yeah, some exploring that I was doing in his pregnancy. And I've had the thought now, like, if I am ever to give birth again, I cannot even imagine. What would it be like? Like, what would I choose then? Like, what, and it's fully just, I feel like that was the most primal, the most raw, the most wild, the most stripped back, like, closest to, quote unquote, the truth of, like, whatever journey I'm going on with birth. I'm like, how does it get even more real? You know, like that was it. Like that was wild. But I think, like, when I think about it now, it's like, well, it just, you know, it's like, well, for one, we don't live in that house anymore, so you'd be somewhere else. Like, you're just responding to like your environment. Like, you're just, and that child and what they choose. And it's like, would I go in the water again? Would I be on the, like, I don't know. I don't really care. Like,
We'll
we'll just
see.
see. Like, yeah, it's like not even up to me, I guess.
Yeah, I love that. Just like moving through it in that timing and not having that projection. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing
Yes, thank
that.
you.
And like, I just love everything you have to share and all your insights, and I think it's really important to just keep sharing about our experiences as women and our birthing experiences to kind of like wake us up, like in all the ways. Like, even if it is like, why are you choosing to have those things in your birth space, you know? And all of those subtleties are us reclaiming birth and like reconnecting with our intuition and our instincts. And because yeah, I remember when I was doing my doula training like a million years ago, I remember one woman once saying in a circle, she was like, you know, even rescue remedy in a space that you're giving to a woman without permission is intervention. You're putting something in her body, you're changing her vibration, like you're interfering with her process. And it's important to really pare everything back. Like, even language in a space is intervention. Like, it's be so conscious of why you're bringing something into a woman's space and what you're bringing into a woman's space and how that then can cause a ripple effect or derail her process. Like, you know, and I found that so profound. And what you shared today, yeah, reminded me of that. And definitely in the past, like with my second and third birth, I was very much like, do what I did the first couple of times, you know, like. And
Why would you not?
it is really interesting how you can get so disconnected almost from, like, even though you think you're having this intentional birth, you still can be like not.
There's still stuff there that we're not
Yeah,
seeing somehow.
distractions, expectations, projections. Yeah, like social media has such a huge influence. And I think we are in like a really exciting, nice time now where it's like we kind of understand that influence a little bit better of social media, and we can digest it a little bit more intentionally, as opposed to it being like this new thing that we didn't really quite understand, and we would consume it mindlessly. I think now we're kind of in this place of where deconstructing everything and taking it apart and being okay, let's be more intentional about why we make choices and what we consume and how we birth and how we parent. Like, even the natural parenting movement, right? The gentle parenting movement. That was like, I was on the peak of all those things when I became a mother like 10 years ago. And you then are like, it's not real. Like, it's
No.
not authentic to each individual person. You're just playing a part to fit in. So I'm excited to
We're like,
have go. Sorry, go.
sorry.
You go. You go.
No, it feels like almost because there is truth in that beautiful home birth
Yes.
scene with the lovely music,
Yes.
the full, you know, like, and there is truth in this, oh, we can speak to our children differently, and
Of
like,
course.
we want those things that these people are trying to tell us. I had this experience, this is my story, and it's like, yes, but it's going to be so individual for us. Like, I think maybe as a culture, we've gotten attached to like the label, the aesthetic, like how it looks, how we like, how to describe it. And
Yeah.
but we're kind of losing some of our own unique medicine because we're just
Yes.
copy and pasting someone else's, oh, I
Yes.
used that thing, I'm going to use it. Like, it's like, no, like meet your child, meet your baby, meet your birth, like meet
Yeah.
you. And like
Yeah.
these stories, because they are really important and
Yeah.
they do help revolutionize, revolutionize.
Evolution. It is a revolution.
Totally. It just shakes everything up. And it's, if I never saw videos like that, when I was having my first, maybe I would have had a hospital birth. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I really, something in me was like, no, nah, I don't want to do that. So I went looking for other options and I found home birth videos, free birth videos, and this calm, serene birth thing. I was like, okay. And
Yeah.
it gave me permission to be like, I'm going to do that too. So it's
Yeah.
needed, it's important, but
It's the
I think the
pendulum
big
swing,
piece
sorry,
is
that
like,
you, sorry. Yeah, it's like that pendulum swing, right, that you were talking about earlier, like with your births, like how it's like you have to go one way extreme to get the change. And now we're coming back to
Yeah,
understand it
find
maybe a
that
little bit
balance.
better and find the balance and make it true for each individual person. And
Yeah.
yeah, find your own medicine and really be in your body, in your, in how you play out. Oh, I don't know how to say it. You know what I mean? Like how
Yeah.
you embody the information or embody your choices. Like it's yours. It's not, yeah, that copy paste that person on Instagram made it look like that and they do that, so I'm gonna mimic that. It's like I can be inspired by that. That's really beautiful. But I'm gonna make it mine now and make it real for me.
I think that's the piece. Like, especially in birth, especially in being a woman, coming back to your instinct, your intuition. Like, search externally, listen to the stories, all of that stuff, but always, always, always bring it back to yourself. And like, that is your ultimate authority, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, I think let's leave it right there. That's just like hit the nail on the head. And I feel that so deeply. Like, that is where I'm at right now in my life, you know? That's
So
just where I'm
powerful.
at. But oh, goodness. Thank you for being my first guest on my new
Oh.
podcast that I'm feeling all the feels about, but I'm doing the thing anyway. And
Yeah. On the Pisces new moon with the
yes,
bleed, it's perfect.
bleeding, like it just feels so powerful and magic and deeply in my feminine right now.
Yeah.
doing my
Feel that.
favorite thing, hearing birth stories, and yeah, so thank you. It's been such an honor.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you are feeling called, please like and subscribe so that we can reach more people. You can also find me over on Instagram at the Here to Be Human podcast. See you next time for more juicy conversations.